Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The government has released data showing which graduates from which colleges make the most once they graduate. We'll ask a Wall Street Journal reporter to run the numbers. First, some money and market news you should know. Target's streak of quarterly sales gains continues. Overall sales at the retail giant rose 4.5% in the latest quarter. That includes substantial gains in e-commerce sales. The National Retail Federation says that spending is likely to continue. It expects holiday sales to rise in the 4% range to about $730 billion. And to meet that expected demand, Target CEO Brian Cornell says the chain will spend $50 million more in payroll this holiday season and double the number of store workers dedicated to online fulfillment and in-store same-day services. Hospitals are giving the Trump administration's new health pricing disclosure rule a chilly reception, and the industry is planning a legal challenge to block it. The rule would require hospitals to disclose the rates they negotiate with insurers for services and supplies and care provided by doctors who work for the facility. Currently, negotiated prices are generally kept confidential and can vary widely, even within the same market. The Trump administration argues that its transparency push will bring down costs and allow consumers to shop around for the best care. But some industry experts have said that costs could go up if hospitals demand that insurers match competitors' prices. And to many people, Thanksgiving means parades, overeating, and having to talk politics with family members. For those who dread that, toy maker Mattel says it has a solution to avert holiday family feuds. It's a nonpartisan version of the card game Uno. Instead of the traditional red and blue cards, their limited edition spin on the game has orange and purple ones. And if a family member breaks the no politics at the table rule, a veto card with the word politics and prohibition printed on it allows players to skip over violators. With student loan debts swelling to more than $1.5 trillion, students and parents want to know how much bang they can get for their college buck. The Wall Street Journal has compiled data released by the government that shows which college degrees are paying off instantly and which leave students saddled with more debt than potential income after graduating. And Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Fuller is here to discuss. So, Andrea, this specific level of information hasn't been available to the public before now.
So the Obama administration released a bunch of data through what's called the College Scorecard, and that had data on median earnings for people who attended a particular school. But it didn't really tell you what you would earn or how much you would borrow depending on your major, and it didn't cover graduate programs at all. So we were really excited as journalists to have all of this data. It's really rich, allowing us to explore where are the programs where people are borrowing a lot of money and not making very much out of college, and where are you getting a good deal?
And there's a tool in the story in the Wall Street Journal, an interactive tool. What does that allow people to do?
So with that tool, you can look up your college and look up your major and see how much students who graduated recently were earning a year out of school and what their student debt level was.
What do the data tell us about graduates and what they earn in their first year out of school?
It's quite varied. A lot of it is what you would expect. Majoring in math at MIT will net you $120,000 a year right out of school. That sounds really nice. but there's a lot of variation. Majoring in writing and rhetoric at even some Ivy League schools like Columbia yield pretty low salaries.
There was some surprising data about Ivy League schools coming out of this information.
I think it really varies. Right out of school, it seems like across the board, the top programs in terms of debt-to-income ratios being low were computer science programs at elite schools. But if you look down, there's a lot of variation amongst English programs and writing programs. At Brown University, for example, history majors earned more than biology majors. And there may be some sort of confounding factors there. For example, a lot of biology majors go on to med school. So perhaps those who are actively in the workforce, which this data measures, are doing something more of an interim figure. So experts caution that short-term earnings, what you earn your first year out of college, are not necessarily reflective of your long-term earning potential. But the Ed Department hopes to actually continue compiling these data year after year.
And this data in this story and put out by the government only covers graduates' earnings for 1 year out of college. So like you said, there are some majors that maybe have a more long-term potential in the ramp-up in salary, like liberal arts, and they may not show up as high amounts in that first year snapshot of data.
I'll say this as a liberal arts major myself.
Me too.
My American studies degree did not yield me $120,000 a year right out of school. However, a lot of people who major in the liberal arts go on to graduate programs in like law school, and that ultimately yields higher earnings or they do PhDs. There's a lot that can change in the course of a career.
Now, why was there an effort to keep this information hidden in the past?
Colleges have long just been really worried about the caveats that students won't understand that this isn't reflective of long-term earnings. This is just what people are making in the first year out of school. For example, with medical and dental schools, everyone goes and does residency at medical school. And at a lot of dental schools, a lot of students do it. So they're worried that it will confuse students. But the Trump administration's belief is that instead of overregulation, as they would view it, that the release of this information will allow consumers to make better choices and not attend programs that they don't feel are going to be worth their debt.
Now, the data only covers graduates for 1 year out of school. It also only covers students who were federal financial aid recipients. But there was also significant differences in the numbers pertaining to public and for-profit schools.
What we looked at are debt-to-income ratios. And general experts say you should keep your debt lower than your income. So borrow less money than you make in a year. Now, at for-profit schools, those debt-to-income ratios were generally higher, generally surpassed that threshold more often than they did at public schools and nonprofit schools. And this is an ongoing, long-debated issue. The Obama administration particularly focused on for-profit colleges and programs there, whether or not they were going to provide gainful employment. And the Trump administration has rolled back some of those rules and is focused more on transparency efforts.
And this data with respect to how debt has just been piling up and piling up, and the way you want to keep your debt-to-income ratio manageable could really change people's thoughts as to where they want to go to school. And it may open them up to think, I never thought about going to school, for example, in Ohio, but now all of a sudden I think I might.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in this data. Just as it's surprising to find out, wow, here are some people who went to Columbia and are only making $19,000 a year. We found that students who went to Bismarck State and studied business were making over $100,000 a year right out of college. And so I think in addition to people finding data that kind of freaks them out a little bit, there's a lot of very expensive arts programs at elite colleges where, you know, I think people have long known that arts majors and English majors are going to make less than math majors, but actually having a number to put on it is really powerful, especially when your parents and you are borrowing tens of thousands of dollars to go to some of these schools like NYU or USC are very expensive. One of the schools that we highlighted in our data was a master's degree program at the University of Southern California with a really high debt-to-income ratio. Students in theater arts owed $100,000 at graduation, but were earning just $30,000 a year later. That said, the flip side of that is Bismarck State business majors, MIT math majors, where student loans are incredibly low. And so you can find a lot of great opportunities for payoff off. Some of these programs in nursing or in firefighting have very low debt-to-income ratios.
Bismarck State, North Dakota, a gorgeous part of the country. So check it out on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. And that's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Fuller with us. Andrea, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.